It's showtime.
Hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. A minute and a half past the hour, and we begin the last horn broadcast for a solid week. It is the fourth day of August, 2017. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Madcap Merry Multimedia Zany Real-Time Extravaganza that happens during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday. 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password, jump right in. You will be immediately greeted by folks like Anatole and Silent R. Lamar and Squeaky and V.T. Blom and more folks wandering in. Yeah. Well, here we go again. No stream at White Rose. Let me work on that real quick. Thanks for letting me know. Midweek utility pinch hit all-around great guy, chat room moderator Steve from Georgia, Stan. Let's see. I know you hate the drum loop, so do I. And we'll get done with that. I'm going to do this just really as quickly as I possibly can. I thought I already gave the date. It's the fourth day of August, 2017. So, stand by. I don't know what's wrong with the White Rose stream. Just a minute. Okay. So I've restarted the players. I show sending from to both White Rose and to HeadOn.live. There should be live programming on both in a matter of seconds because of the latency of the internet. It's not instantaneous. It's not real time. And if there's music on TuneIn, that means that there should, in short order, be live programming at 6 minutes past the hour on the fourth day of August, 2017. So the fourth day of August, 2017 is, of course, a Friday. We are, it's kind of a getaway day. It's the day before the we take off on the much anticipated first vacation in 13 years or so. More than 13 years, really. But, yeah, the first vacation. And I'm looking forward to it like you cannot believe. Join in. Look, join in the chat room this evening. And here in about, 50 minutes or so, we will fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable for Friday on the Front Porch. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And have our last conversation for a week or so. Now, I may get some pushback. I may get, there may be people going, God damn it, Bob, this is a vacation. I'll go ahead and warn you. I'm taking a mobile rig with me. Taking a microphone, taking a mic stand, taking a mixer, laptop, all of that kind of stuff. I'm taking it with me. You know why? Because Trump. Because, like I've said before, what used to be the deadly dull doldrums of broadcast and journalism and news, otherwise known as August, ain't dull anymore. So I'm going to take a mobile rig with me. Because just in case... Just in case Geezer Disgustus decides to try to, live out his fantasy or tries to recreate the lyrics of that great 80s chestnut, Melt With You, I'm taking a mobile rig with me. What are you talking about, Marty? Marty says, just why? Because you want the TSA to confiscate it all? You know you'll be checking that in, right? Who said I was flying? Y'all funded a vacation. Globetrotting. No, this is automotive-based travel. The kind I prefer. I like to drive. I like the highways and byways of our country. And so there's going to be driving involved. Flying? Are you kidding? No freaking way. So now, watch. By the way, I don't know if I'll do this or not. I may. As we travel, Agnes and I may take pictures along the way, post them to my Twitter feed, maybe Facebook, and we'll play Where on Earth are Bob and Agnes? Okay? So, maybe it'll be a little bit of fun. But we got to do a program before anything else. Agnes is, thank you, Steve from Georgia Stan. Let me know if you decide to do a program and I'll be here. I will let you know. But you can kind of gauge it by, well, let's put it this way. Where I'm going versus where Comrade Kumquat is going, you couldn't pay me to go where he's going. And I'm going somewhere much, much, much more enjoyable. So the little rental car, is out in the driveway. Agnes is, because I'm on the air, not because I'm too lazy to do it. Agnes is packing. And we're gonna get right the hell out of here. As soon as the program's over, I'll load up a little bit more technical equipment. But do not expect a broadcast next week. It's like I'm gonna put a sticker on it. I'm gonna put a seal on the road cases that say "brake seal in case of emergency." You know, and by emergency, you know, what would constitute? Oh, you know, lighting up North Korea. That would constitute an emergency. That sort of thing. Starting a war with Iran. A series of really nutty tweets. Nope, sorry, won't qualify. So that's just where it stands. But a lot of plans. Oh well, thank you, Reverbo, pointing out that what a kind offer. Reverbo says, the Silver Pelican has room for you and all your gear and no unpleasant security issues. Just blow right past security over to the dirigible hangar. Yes. The fabulous Silver Pelican dirigible moored at present along the East Coast. Thanks very kindly, but I really do. I think we'll drive. And I think we'll have a lot of fun. It sounds crazy after 24 years of marriage. Agnes and I have never done this before. Ever. At all. It really will be like a honeymoon. Just, you know, stop it. But yeah, it will be. And it should be a blast. Now, this remains a listener-supported program. And we've got a little bit of a hole to fill in to finish the week. We need to raise $260. Thank you very kindly. $260 to finish the week. it's not a contest, Marty. It's not a guessing game. Planning to leave the lower 48, so to speak? No. Nope. I'm actually probably pretty predictable. Marty says, I thought you and the Lady Agnes were running across the pond. I always reserve the right to be incorrect. Oh, I wish we were running across the pond. I know where we'd run to. It is somewhere where I'm not out of place in all of my majestic pinkness in the sun. But no, we're not. Although the Arctic Circle is lovely this time of year. But tomorrow's the getaway. We'll be back on Sunday. And yeah, I will be. I'll be, you know, tweeting and carrying on a little bit along the way. But thank you, Steve from Georgia Stan, saying Bob is going to do his Kerouac. Travel is good for the soul. Hey, I don't think it qualifies. No, I don't have any wild-eyed drug addicts traveling with me, but I don't have any Bill Burroughs wannabes accidentally, you know, shooting their spouses or anything. No crazed beatnik poets. Although it would be kind of cool to have like beat poetry following, you know, bongos and berets and all of that shit. But no, that's not there either. No. I've been very, very, very good to my, no, I will not be twooping, Anatole. That's something that Geezer Disgustus does, not me. We'll probably pursue some history. See some historic places of various and sundry ages. but that's, you know, it'll be fun. It'll begin, like I said, it'll begin somberly, but it will be fun. And we need to raise about $260 this evening. You know that, you know the drill here. 10 at 26, 26 at 10, 1 at 260, 2 at 130, 4 at 65, 8 at 3250, 16 at 16 and a quarter, 32 at $8.13, and that's where we round up for the Maybach Fund. If you're game for PayPal, use the PayPal interface. That is much by far the simplest way of going about things. Hopefully, it will not require a Friday on the front porch miracle. No, sorry, Clarity. No Hunter S. Thompson. No Dr. Gonzo. And mercifully, no Ether. I don't like bats. And besides, we don't have a Cadillac convertible to travel in. This is an extremely humble Nissan. Because Ferg's got to get to work. So that. And cross your fingers. No salt shakers full of, no. Mm-mm. Gone are the days, as they say. If you prefer the U.S. Postal Service in helping to keep all this going, then the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318 Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. If you want to do that, let me know. I'll have Boss Man Wayne leave the spider-proof gloves in the truck and go in with nothing more than his trusty garden mattock, you know, in case the grand, exalted, noble 32nd degree Cyclops Dragon Kleagle is there picking up the Klan's mail. Yeah. And
a crown.
Well, that. Also, of course, a reminder for folks who are already subscribed via PayPal, it's fine. It works great. So don't really change anything. But if you're not, and if you've never subscribed before, then let me heartily recommend the Horns subscription campaign over at patreon.com, patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. And, you know, we're trying to find, you know, something on the order of 344, 345, $10 a month subscribers. Okay. Early question coming from Billable Rick. Would the Tangerine Tiberius firing Bob Mueller be cause for a road show? I'm leaning toward the no side of that. Because we're kind of all expecting that, aren't we? And bless their evil little hearts, even the Senate majority, as run by chinless Mitch McConnell, is trying to keep that from happening. They've gone into recess, but they will gavel into session every couple of days for 1 minute just to keep the Clementine Caligula from firing Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions of Hood and installing some little creep of his own picking to order Rod Rosenstein to fire Bob Mueller. So we're expecting him to try, but I don't see it happening, and I'm guessing even if he tries something, no. Although, speaking, I saw the dumbest damn rumor I've seen in a while now. You know, there's a hole in the cabinet at Homeland Security since John Kelly moved over to be Trump's minder as chief of staff. This is crazy stuff, and this sort of leads us into the front end of the program. One of the more bizarre theories I saw put forward was that Jim Justice changed his registration to Republican because he's interested in being Secretary of Energy, because Trump is thinking about making Rick Dancing with the Stars Perry, the guy from Head Ranch, Texas, the head of Homeland Security. No, really. And if you like to engage in that sort of speculation, I guess it's kind of fun. August. Yeah. I'd do it with gin, maybe a gin and tonic, if you're going to do some high-quality madcap speculating like that. And that is some high-quality madcap speculating. Oh, yeah. But then, even without the benefit of the gin and tonic, I went so far as to think, wait a minute. No, that sounds a little nutty. But what if Trump wanted to make, say, Shelley Moore Capito head of the Department of Energy? After all, she did his bidding in the health care debate in trying to screw some several tens of millions of Americans out of their health care. So maybe she's due something. Moores never do anything that they don't have a self-interested deal in the works. And then Jim Justice could appoint himself senator. And the governor's office would be open. And the president of the Senate, a Republican, would become acting governor. There's some 200-proof speculation. Do not try this at home. It can make your eyes cross and hair grow on your palms. Don't do it. But I had a question via Twitter from our buddy of long standing, Sandra, wanting to know a little bit more about Jim Justice and his billions. And I guess I just assume that people know what a sleazebag he is. Gin, says Clarity, it's the tequila of the British Isles. Why, yes. If tequila was made out of pine trees, like gin tastes like it is, absolutely. Jim Justice. Just to understand what a non-surprise this is, well, let's start out with the fact that Jim Justice made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. He inherited money from his daddy, Jim Sr. Jim Sr., early on, not a lot of golfers coming out of the coal camps. But then again, Jim Justice Jr. was not born in one. He was a good enough golfer to go to the University of Tennessee to play golf, but after a couple of years, I guess he couldn't cut it there. And he transferred home to, he was homesick for the hills, he was. He transferred home to Marshall University, where he was captain of the golf team there for 2 years. And he cultivates that aw shucks shit kicker sort of persona. Yeah, I'm not a real politician. I'm just a fake politician who's not a real politician who just wants to get some things done, like maybe making sure that none of the coal I mine gets taxonated. Because while he did propose some tax increases and so forth, the coal industry was not part of any of them. A question coming in from Michael in Madison. I don't get it. If Trump wanted to make Jim Justice Secretary of Booger Eating or whatever, and he would be a fine one, I might add, wouldn't it have been strategically beneficial for Trump, however minimally, for Jimmy Boy to leave his damn registration alone so as Trump could say, hey, look how bipartisan I is. Most bipartisan president ever. Team of rivals. Maybe, but you've got to consider what happens on the back end of that, Michael. If he becomes a Republican, then it makes for a very nice transition from the Republican president of the Senate to become acting governor, and sets him on the way to his own gubernatorial ambitions. See? But Jim, like I said, made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. And his daddy, in addition to being in coal, was a big-time agricultural type. Jim Justice, and, you know, it's not one of those things that a lot of people know anything about. Jim Justice is the single largest, and I'm not talking about in girth or stature, I'm talking about in holdings. He's the biggest farmer. Farmer, yeah. He's the biggest farmer on the Atlantic seaboard. He owns Bluestone Farms, and Bluestone Farms farms some 50,000 acres or 20,000 hectares and is the biggest producer of grain on the U.S. East Coast. He's also got a big place he calls Stony Brook Plantation, a hint for courtesy of the goddess of irony. If you're running around telling your Kunta Kinte story, you probably don't want to call anything a plantation. But Stony Brook Plantation is a 15,000-acre hunting and fishing preserve down in one of West Virginia's loveliest counties, Monroe County. He's a seven-time champion at growing corn. But he got into some real walking around folding money. Back in 2009. His daddy shuffled off this mortal coil in 1993. And he inherited Bluestone Industries and Bluestone Coal Corporation. Well, in 2009, who should come calling but the Russians? You know how yesterday said the geezer discussed us said, yeah, there aren't any Russians here today, are there? The Russia investigation's fake news. at the same time that the grand jury was issuing subpoenas. Well, yeah, there were some Russians in West Virginia. They came to West Virginia to buy coal mines from Jim Justice, a Russian outfit, and, you know, of course, as always, run by oligarchs, called Mechel, M-E-C-H-E-L. And it's almost like a... it's almost like an episode of one of those hillbilly TV series, whether it be Andy Griffith or the Beverly Hillbillies or my favorite, Green Acres, in which the city slicker comes to town thinking he's going to get the better... Ma and Pa Kettle movies were really good for this plot as well. Going to get the better of the stupid hillbillies and wind up walking away lucky to have their shoes on. Well, such was the case in 2009 when Mechel came to West Virginia to buy some of Jim Justice's coal mines. And they paid him, and back in 2009, the price of coal was going through the goddamn roof. I mean, it was going up and up and up, and people that had like 401ks because they worked for Massey Energy were freaking millionaires. and so Mechel bought high. They didn't buy high. They bought really, really high. Like, oh, I don't know, smoked a quarter pound Hindu Kush on the corporate jet over from Moscow high. They bought real high. And then you know what happened? The bottom fell out of the coal business. Because the bottom always falls out of the coal business. It's coal, for Christ's sakes. It's a boom and bust economy. Always booming. Always busting. Well, no, it's boomed for the last time. It's sort of bust from here on out. But anyway, they bought these coal mines from Jim Justice for $568 billion, and then the bottom fell out of the coal market. And then Jim Justice, and this is where it's like Jim Justice is West Virginia's own Mr. Haney. With apologies to Pat Buttram, who in his own way was a fine actor. Master Douglas, have I got a bargain for you? Jim Justice went back to Mechel and said, "That's damn shame what happened with all them coal mines you bought from me for $568 million. Yeah, it's terrible, you know. I was talking to Jesus last night, and Jesus told me that I needed to come and help you fellers out. Yeah. You want another swig out of this mason jar? It's almost as good as your vodka. A little bit harsher, but it's got a kick. I tell you what, you just sign here. Yeah, sign here. I got you a check, boys. Yeah, come here, Ivan. Look, I got you a check. See, there it says $5 million. No, really. He sold a bunch of coal mines that he probably knew were going to fall apart because this guy knows, and it had nothing to do with the Obama EPA. Didn't have a damn thing to do with unfair regulations. Fracking. Fracking was on the rise, and it was all the rage. And it absolutely devastated the coal industry, which is one of the reasons coal is never going to come back. It takes a lot of capital investment to create a new power generating plant, and most of those are being built to run on frack gas. not coal. And that's a long-term commitment on a plant that's going to run for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Sure hope there's... never mind. Jim Justice knew these things. He comes across as this aw-shuck shit-picker, shit-kicker, cornbread hillbilly. But he is a pretty ruthless goddamn businessman. And he follows the coal market. And so he made, by selling his coal companies, many of which, by the way, had oodles of various and sundry pollution violations, workplace safety violations, that kind of thing. By selling them to the Russians for $568 million, and then, well, I mean, I can do this kind of ciphering, and bought it back for $5 million. Let's see, that's a $563 million flip. Isn't that half a billion? That's more than a half a billion dollar flip. And so he then reopened some of the mines, began violating various and sundry EPA regulations, you know, not paying his taxes. That's the other... That's the other reason that he's a natural fit to be buddies with Trump. Man won't pay his taxes. And he stiffs any number of contractors, suppliers, equipment maintainers, providers, whatever. Yeah. He put 200 coal miners back to work. The mining of the coal. He's been referred to as the top mine safety delinquent in the entire United States. And that's saying something in a world that also has Bob Murray and Don Blankenship in it. And he went on to buy the Greenbrier Resort. And it really, you know, well, like you said last night, nobody loves West Virginia more than I do. Yeah, I love West Virginia more than you do, Jim. Because I don't poison people to make a buck. Hell, we bust ass just to raise a couple of $100 here every night. You know, I guess it's fun to have billions of dollars laying around, but you know what? In the end, we all go into the dirt pretty much dead, whether one is in one's 50s or in one's 70s or 80s or 90s. Ah, hell, Jim Justice will probably be he'll probably live to be 100, because after all, evil is a preservative. More confusion courtesy of Michael and Madison, and that's not a slam. It's just, I'm confused, Bob. A, because I'm used to Lieutenant Governor being next in line for gubernatorial succession. However, I see you're not one of those states. You know, we don't have a Lieutenant Governor. Because we need, that's just one more hack in there with his hand out to the coal industry. It cuts into what the rest of the boys are getting. B, if Jimmy Boy resigned to take a Trump administration job, the president of the West Virginia Senate becomes acting governor. Yes. Republican Mitch Carmichael. Yes, yes. It doesn't particularly... What difference does it make what party the resigning governor is from? Well, it doesn't, but it sets the table for him to be a good and loyal Republican. People keep trying to... And maybe I can make this a little more clear. People keep trying to sort of shoehorn this business in with him flipping parties with Trump. You know, Trump's approval ratings are down. Why would he do that right now? Well, one, his approval ratings may be down nationally, but this is still the Trumpiest place on earth. So it's not a net loss. It's not going to affect that any. But secondarily, He was always going to do this. This was part of the plan back when he became a Democrat in what, 2015? 2016? He was going to do this all along. He would have done this if Hillary Clinton had been president. Hillary Clinton? Oh, no! The devil! Yeah, sure he would have. But the biggest question left is, why is the leadership of the West Virginia Democratic Party still in place? Why has, she's a septuagenarian who's been a good and loyal Manchin flack since Christ was a corporal in the Army of God, a woman from Morgantown, West Virginia, named Belinda Biafore. Why is she still the head of the West Virginia Democratic Party? She's the one that got suckered in by Jim Justice. She's the one that took the marching orders from Joe Manchin to bust her ass to make him governor. We had three candidates in the primary for governor last year, only one of whom was Jim Justice and his Kunta Kinte story. Booth Goodwin, Jeff Kessler announced first, and he was about as close a thing as you could have to a progressive candidate for governor in a place like West Virginia. Booth Goodwin got in, and the plans were sort of always there, but his main purpose was to make sure that there was no progressive governor, no progressive person as the Democratic nominee for governor from the state of West Virginia. Had either Jeff Kessler or Booth Goodwin gotten out of the race before the primary, odds are whoever stayed in would have beaten Jim Justice. But Jim Justice was the anointed one from the Joe Manchin cult of personality, because Jim and Joe are great buddies. Pals, even. Remember that old political truism from West Virginia? No Manchin has ever voted for a Democrat whose name was not Manchin. The Manchin family was behind Democrats for more back when Shelley's daddy was running for governor. The Manchin family was behind Democrats for Underwood when a woman named Charlotte Pritt handed Joe his ass in the Democratic gubernatorial primary back in 1996. And Joe's people immediately created Democrats for Underwood in order to install a walking liquor bottle as governor of West Virginia. Cecil Underwood had been the vice president of West Virginia operations for Island Creek Coal Company when he was tapped by the Manchin family. And proceeded to drink his way through 4 years of the governor's office. So, you know, that's the dynamic. Meanwhile, Joe is setting himself up to be governor. And that's the story here. Ever since Joe seized hold of the West Virginia Democratic Party, the West Virginia Democratic Party has ceased to function as a viable political entity. as a cult of personality for Joe Manchin, the West Virginia Democratic Party has done nothing but lose. Okay? And so this is the what we're calling the justice flop is the nadir of the cult of personality of Joe Manchin. Oh, by the way, somebody else out there with a lot of, I mean, we're talking with about a whole chicken coop's worth of egg on their faces. The Democratic Governors Association, who dropped a couple of million plus electing Jim Justice, whom they should have known all along, wasn't a Democrat anyway. They, at least, unlike Sparkle Fart Powered Unicorn Cavalry Purity Brigade, are not suing to get their money back. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. So, I mean, hopefully that's an overview. Numbers vary. Jim Justice owns something like 70 coal mines. He coaches girls basketball in Greenbrier County. But he's just a big capitalist predator Republican. Always has been. Always will be. And there's one last thing to add into this mix. Of all the people, you've noticed I've not been particularly generous to the leadership of the West Virginia Democratic Party. That's because they have shown themselves to be spectacularly tone deaf. I was at the West Virginia Democratic Convention back in June of 2016. I was one of the people who quietly got up and walked out on Jim Justice. Because we knew who and what Jim Justice was. We knew. There's no question. Some of those people may have voted for Jim Justice anyway. I give them no grief whatsoever. But the big-time political operatives that run the West Virginia Democratic primary or party, they knew too. And they pretended that Jim Justice was something other than what he is. They tried to pretend that a wolf was a lamb. And so I align my voices with those of others who are saying that it is time for a serious shakeup in the West Virginia Democratic Party's leadership. It's time for Belinda Biafore to go and enjoy her retirement. It's time to clean house of the lot of them. Oh, well, no, okay, there are some people, some other people who have earned a little bit of derision, if not scorn. And much as I hate to say it, much as it grieves me to say it, that's labor in West Virginia. Because they got behind Jim Justice. They proclaim a famous neutrality during the primaries, but I suspect maybe that day has proven itself at an end. So now the United Mine Workers are in the unenviable position of having endorsed a Republican because they couldn't get behind the Republican. And doesn't that sound silly? Yes, it does.
because it was.
Finally, though, one last observation. Had the Republican won in the Democrat, in not Democrat, had the Republican won in the general election in 2016, Bill Cole, the car dealer, the millionaire car dealer with a mansion and a yacht, the guy who said that if you make $50,000 a year because you're a member of a union, that you make an unfairly high wage, he had a very real, for modern terms, classic Republican agenda: taking health care away from people, ending the Medicaid expansion, further impoverishing working people in this state. And they would have gone hog wild, him as a Republican governor and the Republican legislature working together hand in hand, hammer and tongs, hand over fist. And what came out of the last year of legislative action in West Virginia would have been manifestly worse than it already is. Hell with that bunch. Not only would we maybe stop taxing coal and gas, we might actually, well, we kind of already do pay for the privilege of having them in this state. Pay with our lives. What will it be going forward? Anybody's guess. I would honestly be surprised to see Jim Justice. There might be something out there cooking. And he's not going to be the Jim Justice that we see today, that we saw yesterday, is the same Jim Justice that's been around for, you know, decades. He likes projecting that good old boy, benevolent shit kicker persona. You know, just as long as he can protect his business interests. Meanwhile, what really matters here is the question of when, oh when, will progressives, such as we are in this state, finally coalesce and become a force within the Democratic Party of this state? If the little greenies over at the Mountain Party gave a good goddamn about this state, they'd close up shop. They'd shut the hell down. Board up the windows. And take all of their massive misdirected energy and pour it into building a progressive coalition that can run candidates and build campaigns and make change inside the West Virginia Democratic Party and drag it kicking and screaming back to its reasonably progressive FDR, JFK, LBJ roots. And the next bastard that comes down the road telling his goddamn Kunta Kinte story, tell him to take a fucking hike. It could happen, but the odds are pretty long against. I mean, the West Virginia Democratic Party platform, for the first time ever, contains a plank condemning mountaintop removal. Something that makes Jim Justice millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. A lot of young people were in on that. Take that energy, move it forward. Begin to talk not just to ourselves, but to the people with whom we nominally, with whom we disagree.
Because somewhere along the way, somebody's going to have to change their mind. And I don't think progressives in this state are going to be talked into thinking that it's okay to take a constitutional right away from a woman while at the same time continuing to worship another constitutional right as something having been passed down from goddamn Sinai, namely the Second Amendment. Hearts and minds are going to have to change here. Or people are going to have to learn to prioritize some things. Maybe born children have to come before the preborn. I'm not talking about the unborn. I'm not talking about the buns that are baking in the oven. I'm talking about the precious little snowflake fetuses. The born are going to have to come before, take precedence over the preborn. We're going to have to have a real economy. We're going to have to learn how to run candidates. We don't know how anymore. There is next to no progressive bench in this state. The West Virginia Democratic Party is moribund. So I hope I've shed a little light. I hope I've at least partially answered your question, Sandra. And any more, if you have any more questions, give me a holler. So it's 2 minutes before the hour. We'll take a break. We will fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Remember, I'm hosting that now, so I need a little help from you. The computer that comes in on is at a 45-degree angle from where I talk into the microphone. So I appreciate it if you would call in, and then as you call in, I'll add you into the conversation. I know you can. I've had a few tips and stuff from Sparky, who is busy sort of roasting right now. No end in sight from the 110 degree heat there in Northern California, but he told me about dragging and dropping and things like that. It's just really hard for me to do that and still talk into the microphone at the same time because of the limited space in front of me, and then so the computer's off to the side. And so if you want to get involved in the Friday on the Front Porch conversation, and gosh, I hope you do, because it's the last conversation we're going to have for a week or so. And I love our Friday on the Front Porch conversations. You get involved by connecting to Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Bob Kincaid Horn. And then I'll add you to the group call on Skype. We have one line available. Someday we'll get the necessary unit to make it two lines. But we've got one line available for traditional telephony, not involving Skype. That number, of course, is 304-663-4676. It works for some. It doesn't work for others. But one way or the other, jump in. And we'll see where the conversation takes us. We started out with $260 to raise. It is 1 minute past 7 p.m. We are 61 minutes into the program, and we still have $260 to raise for this, the fourth day of August 2017. It would be nice not to come back, and the first thing to have to do be climb out of a great big damn hole. So if we can raise $260, that'd be mighty wonderful. This is listener-supported conversation radio. Radio like nothing else, like none other. This is the Horn. And, well, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Those mountains falling, they're getting pushed aside. I can't find that old stream that ran here cool and wide. Seems it's all been covered up by that old mountainside. They're looking for old black coal. I thought my kids found a way to work in these mountain towns. When they found jobs down in the mines underground. But now the jobs and the money and the mountainside are all gone. 'Cause it just takes one machine now to tear a mountain down. Well, you can tear out a mountain, try to wash it down below, but you can't take the heart out of this Appalachian, Appalachian soul. Oh, this Appalachian, Appalachian soul. It's too damn quiet around here. There's no more coal trucks rolling down. Ghosts in the storefronts. Everybody's left this town. They've gone off to the bright lights in the big city. They got more cash than they can carry around. But I know someday they'll be coming back to this old mountain town. Well, you can tear out a mountain and try to wash it down below, but you can't take the heart out of this Appalachian, Appalachian soul. Oh, this Appalachian, Appalachian too hard to believe. It's just for that old black coal. Wish I could walk beside that cool mountain stream once more. But once it's gone, you know it's gone forevermore. Well, I'm going back, I'm gonna speak my mind. I ain't gonna let them take out no more. Well, you can't tear down the mountain when that mountain's in your soul. Well, you can tear out a mountain and try to wash it down below, but you can't take the heart out of this Appalachian, Appalachian soul. Oh, this Appalachian, Appalachian soul. Oh, this Appalachian, Appalachian soul.
from a compilation album of several years back, Still Moving Mountains. The name of that song, Appalachian Soul. And it is 7 minutes past the hour on this Friday on the Front Porch, Friday the 4th of August, 2017. And we've got ourselves a rousing little Friday on the Front Porch ready to roll here. Let's run over and, well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Man, that song is good enough to make a Brother Deacon cry. Isn't it? That whole album's wonderful. Still Moving Mountains. From Aurora Lights Music. And I guess there's a certain irony in me playing that. I'm going to be gone a week, but I guarantee you I will... By the time we're headed home, I'll be ready to be headed home. Takes about a week to make me start pining for the hills. Weird, I know. I know. Well, let's run over and let's check in with Steve from Georgia Stan. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Bob. What's going on, man?
You are.
Oh, man, you were mentioning gross commercials last night, you know, about the girl puking milk in the cup.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I want to strangle her. I that's really not peaceful of me, but I do.
And it's one of my pet peeves, too, and that's the top one, but there's three more that weren't honorable.
I want to see the woman sitting on the couch on the Oriental rug in the middle of Times Square get hit by a bus, too, but, you know, that's just... You know, because she's just crossing the street and she has to sit down and because she pays $35 a week to do it, she has to have a text relationship with her therapist. And I'm not making light of mental health issues or anything.
No,
but Jesus
no.
Christ, it's Times Square, and I want her to get hit by a bus.
I don't know where these rank, and maybe the Horn family can help us rank as. But there's one where they check for prostate cancer, where you're supposed to poop in a box and mail it away. Have you seen that one?
No, that's colon cancer, but yes, I have.
I don't want to see that. You know, just deposit your sample here, you know.
Well, what does it say, Steve, about our consumer culture and culture generally that we are – because, okay, I understand once upon a time you didn't advertise any of this shit. You trusted your healthcare provider to pick the right medicines for you and have that kind of expertise, but then we had but that wasn't okay with the accounting department and the marketing section, and so we're advertising types of chemo on TV now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and there's no end in sight. I mean, there's an anti-cigarette commercial here. I don't know if they run nationwide or not, that it shows this poor, frail woman saying, bless her, because she's probably gone. This is what smoking will do to you. And she's bald, and she doesn't have any teeth. This is how I get ready for the day. And she puts in her teeth and then her wig. And I mean... I don't want to see that. I know it's a reality, but I don't want to see it.
No, that's the whole point, Steve. It's not a reality. This is marketing by fear mongering. That isn't right. What happens to everybody. Okay.
No, it's not. No, I know a lot of people that smoked that lived to be 100. You know, so I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying that's fact.
But it is, and like you said, there's a list. I saw one the other day, and Agnes saw it with me, and we went to find it and found a bunch of other ads, but we didn't find that one. Maybe it, like, ran once and got pulled because a whole bunch of people said, what the, really? And it was for one of the, I don't know if it was, if Agnes was in here, maybe she could remember. It was one of these online sites that you go to find the best person to fix whatever is wrong with your house. And I won't say the name of the company just in case I'm wrong.
Yep.
But there's a series of them where, well, you know, I needed to have my gutters reamed out And so it should, well, first we look for gutters, and then we look for gutter reaming, and boop, 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 and you know, the number of gutter reamers pops up, and then I found one in my area, boop, boop, a couple more disappear, and then it's down to two. And in this case, I think it was plumbing or something like that. So, and then I found two in my area that were just perfect for me. And then it shows, and there's a black guy who wants $145, and his photo's there, and there's a white guy that wants $210, and the mouse moves over and picks the white guy who wants $210 instead of the black guy who wants $145. And I saw it, and Agnes saw it, and I looked at her, and I said, did I just see it? She said, I think we... Did I? And I said, did you? I did. So did I. Holy shit. Really? And I haven't been able to find it again, but we weren't drinking, and we hadn't gotten into the weekend stash of mushrooms or anything. So I know we saw what we saw.
I think I have seen that one, but I didn't put it together because I try not to pay too much attention.
There's like five or six versions of it, but there's one that goes bloop, 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 and it goes down to two people, and one guy's a black guy who costs less, and whoever's behind the mouse, it clicks on the white guy who costs more.
Jesus. And there's also, this one it warrants honorable mention, the air freshener one, where Gordo sits on the couch and gives him his everything, and couch, I love you, but you stink. I don't know if you've seen that one or not.
And I was wondering if I was just culturally behind times and that Gordo was a euphemism for something. But, after 16 or 17 viewings, I figured out that Gordo was the goddamn dog.
Right, and he was rubbing his ass all over the couch, and it made the couch.
It would have been better if it was a little dog that did that thing where they get on their hind end and drag their asshole across the furniture. Cletus and Twiggy have never done that, have they?
No.
They're classy. They're classy.
There's another version of that. Basement bathroom, I love you. This is where I sneak away to do my number two. But sometimes you stink. I don't want to hear about people pooping on the fucking TV, man.
Well, it's the metastasis of reality television into advertising.
Yeah. And who are these marketing geniuses that sit around and think this is going to sell products? I would never buy that product because they disgusted me with their commercial, you know?
While we're doing it, because I think I may have halfway upset a couple of people about this. It's time to update the Millie Dressel House ad. You know, the GE ad. We need some, I don't know, we need some little children putting flowers on Millie Dressel House's fucking grave because Millie's dead, and that article makes it, that commercial makes it seem like she's still alive.
Well, it almost has a dystopian feel to me, you know, like the hero worship is just over the top, you know. I don't know if anybody else has picked up on that or not, but they speaking. And...
But the Millie Dressel House ad is the right idea, but it's also a matter of writing Millie Dressel House's dead back to advertise for General Electric as if General Electric is some sort of benign presence in our lives. Gee, we bring good things to life. No.
They want her on emojis and commercials and selling out crowds, and she can't. I mean, that's the same one, isn't it?
A Millie Dressel House doll.
Yeah.
And a Millie emoji and all that stuff. I'm all for getting...
Me too.
Really, really, really. Expanding the technical world beyond the universe of the white male, I think, is terribly, terribly important. And she was an amazing engineer.
Oh yeah,
but they can, you know, they can at least point out the fact that she's dead. You know, maybe if they just go over to Paramount or who the hell ever, NBC. And pay for the rights to use a tiny little clip of Dr. McCoy saying, she's dead, Jim.
She's dead, Jim. Yeah, they have
Wait
her
a minute. That's
hunchback.
Our first obligatory Star Trek reference of the night.
Ring a bell.
No, we don't do a bell for the Star Trek reference.
Well, they have her hunchbacked, walking across the stage, and everybody just looking starstruck, you know. That one's over the top, too. You are correct, sir.
Yeah. And see, we've touched a nerve, as it were. Michael and Madison, that anti-chewing tobacco ad, where the dude's face is caving in and falling apart from the special, from the no, okay, this gets a bell. From the where that dude's face is caving in and falling apart from special effects mouth cancer. Special effects mouth cancer. Well, you know what? There's a specific kind of chemo for that. Ask your doctor. If Jaws All Gone is right for you.
Jaws All Gone. Ring it for yourself, Bob.
Thank you. Michael continues and says, goddamn thing always comes on when I'm eating. I'm not that squeamish, but goddamn I have to look away. They mean for you to. It's like the woman puking, okay? I'm guaranteed. Yeah, nope. And you know, she's vomiting milk into the sink, and I'm sitting there with my, you know, just trying to get through my morning cup of yogurt. And
you don't want to see that. I mean, this is what advertising has.
No, I've gotten to the point where I've tweeted, you know, dear Wallet Hub, you fuckers, I will never use your goddamn product until you get that vomiting woman off my TV screen. I mean, corporations. That's the thing. Somebody got paid for doing it, and there's a couple of actors that got paid. And you know, Biff over there is standing with his bowl of cornflakes. What? The milk's bad, and he's getting ready to stick a bite in his mouth. Jesus Christ!
Not only that, there was a whole table of marketing executives sitting around.
Yeah, go, oh, that's a good dollar. Fred,
that'll work.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
That's going to sell.
See if we can lock those two actors in for a series, just like that girl over there, the Flo over there at the Progressive Company.
Gordo's ass is scratching across the couch. That ought to sell some air freshener. Let's go with it. Let's go with it. You know, what the hell are these people thinking?
Why
man?
Not just come? Hi. Does your couch smell like dog ass? Don't give me the visual. Just ask me the question. I can probably answer it.
I probably put it together on my own. Exactly.
You know that cat piss smell you get when the litter box hasn't been changed for a while? We can help with that.
Those two. They used to show them like simulating scooping out, but they make like the cat dung like purple or something, so it would totally gross you out, you know. I don't know if you ever caught that one or not. Then the scoop commercial.
Well, I think no, that was the weekend we did get into the mushrooms and the purple cat shit had sparkles in it too, but then so do the ads and they all go ping.
Yeah, I think it did have sparkles. Yeah.
By the way, going back to the ad, Steve, we've got a little input from Brother Deacon Asa here. Where whoever's behind the mouse picks the more expensive white guy. Well, the black guy costs less up front, says Brother Deacon Asa, but you'll pay more because your house is going to get robbed. At least that's what they were thinking when they put the ad together.
And I'm hoping it's not who I think it is, because that's a very good progressive person. I hope it's not. I hope it's another outfit, you know.
Yeah, I want to say
She's been on C-SPAN and everything else, if it's who I think it is. I'm hoping it's not her.
Let me see if the boss remembers.
Blank list.
I don't think...
It's something else. And I believe it's an app for your phone, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's an app. It's a website. It's a dessert topping. It's a floor polish. You know, it's everything.
Yeah. Everything. But I'm going to toss it back to you, Bob, and let you bring some other folks here. I got a list of stuff I want to talk to you about, so I'll jump back in later.
Okay, just a second. Stand by. Let's see. What company was that ad with the more expensive white guy contractor. Agnes will probably remember. Because, you know, here on the Horn, we talk about things that are terribly, terribly, terribly important. Yes,
And once again, the show has reverted to dog ass, you know?
Right? It's the last program for a week. It's the last program for a week. We may as well jump in the gutter with both feet, right?
With Gordo's dog ass scraping across the couch.
Gordo. That's a boxer, isn't it?
It's a big old dog with a big shiny ass.
Isn't Gordo Spanish for fatty or something?
It's a big old boxer with a big old shiny looking ass, like one of the monkeys you see in the zoo, you know, with the big shiny ass. So,
right across the upholstery.
But sometimes Gordo stinks, you know. Oh gosh, I'm crying here, Bob. I got to get out, man.
Okay. And take a breath. Clarity, it may be an impossible mission, but can you bring any sanity back into this conversation?
3, 2, 1. I like my progressive radio host erudite, feisty, historically, and anatomically correct. And how tall are you, Bob?
6'2".
Oh, boy. I'm just kidding, Agnes. I'm just kidding.
No, okay, you can stop helping now, Clarity.
I can feel the giddiness of you getting out of town and being a nobody for a couple of days.
Well, I mean, I'm a nobody anyway. It's just I'm gonna be a nobody somewhere else.
No, to us, you're somebody, Bob. You sort through the quagmire and bring up some pearls.
Well, thank you. I mean, let's stay with the theme so far, Clarity. I search for diamonds in the dung. You know, probably Gordo's dung, but you know.
I don't know what it is in German, but you know that's what Jung said, that you know the gold is in the shit. So,
and I'm getting an I can't remember from Agnes. Dadgum it! Well, I'll see it, and you know then I'll put it out on Twitter, and we can just share it around because I want it. These people that have jobs doing this stuff. Okay, so I don't know. You'll have to go and find it. Arnold's just going to go ahead and say it. You're not talking about effing Angie's list, are you? Fuck F that and her list. Okay. Maybe it is. But jumping Jehoshaphat. So it's Friday evening. No gig tonight, Clarity?
No, we played last night as that post with the video.
I saw the clip. Very nice.
Yeah, it's a nice room. It has a nice acoustics to it, and my friend and I, we've been playing together for 8 years, so we have a pretty good blend, and we had a good one of our our A-team crowd there, very supportive people. You know, they actually clap when we get through with the song and stuff like that. So,
the clapping is helpful, yeah.
It really is. It actually shows that they're in tune, that the song was over, you know, and and with the new age of the cell phone, you know, they're in a different world, or the iPhones, they're in a different world anyway. But I was just going to, after listening to you and Steve talking about, you know, comparing commercials and, you know, talking about your television experiences, I've been off the grid besides what gets forced through on YouTube, you know, for quite some time. I haven't watched television, and I appreciate the fact that you go through that. And I know the commercials are supposed to amuse you and you know, keep you intrigued enough that you won't change channels or whatever. But the other thing
But I don't think I don't think they're deemed effective when they generate hostility, are they, Clarity?
Well, you know what, Bob? From what I've learned about learning theory is when something provokes a strong emotion, you remember it, whether it's negative or positive.
Well, okay. And that's proven. I mean, I think I just proved it, me and Steve.
So, you know, I mean, how many people still remember the clap on, clap off, you know?
Yeah, because, and it didn't help that we went on to have a clapper in national security, so.
Yeah. I was just going to thank you, you know, because every morning when I, but like you said, when I get up and take pictures of sunrise, you're already up and at it. And when I check in your Twitter feed, you've already watched Morning Joe, which I could never sit through that.
Yeah, well, and again, just to be clear, the reason I do is because my choices are limited. It's that, CNN New Day, or Fox and Friends.
Well, from a Buddhist perspective, maybe you should do something better with your mind than tune into that tube.
That's true too. That's, you know, I should probably get out and appreciate the sunrise is what I should do. Or maybe even go out and you know, carry wood and carry water and do some more weed eating.
Or stare at a rock.
Well, like I said, Fox and Friends.
a talking rock, yeah.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, I know. Yeah. But no, you're right. You're right. And right. And here I am giving them free product placement. So, you know, shame upon me. But
yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. They take up too much time with people in the morning where, you know, they could be honing their intention about, you know, rather than just saying, oh my God, you know.
Well, but to be fair, I don't watch it because for any prurient reasons, and it is, for what I do here, it has a certain benefit because, watching people come on like you know, Lindsey Graham, who said, well, by God, if there's anybody gonna die, it's gonna be on the Korean Peninsula and not here. Donald Trump done told me that. Okay, good. How about alternative three? Nobody dies here or on the Korean Peninsula. Crazy, I know. But maybe we could talk about that?
No, it has to be just one or the other. There can't be a third option.
Yeah, because in that bullshit duality, it's all Shane and it's all Jack Palance going, pick up the gun. Only he sounds like Trump now. Pick up the gun. No, pick it up. It's a great gun. Pick up the gun. So that's why the rig's going. Although I'm getting a little pushback. I got a note from Steve in New York who said it's unlikely to be that I'll be on the front porch tonight. I want to wish you a wonderful vacation. While I love the horn, I will also love the silence next week as you and Agnes experience a much needed and deserved rest. Do one thing: impose a news blackout on yourself. There will be plenty of shit to fill that space upon your return. And that's true. It will not be possible. However, you can't fully escape. You can't fully unplug because because that's the purpose of having ubiquity in media.
Yeah.
If I do anything other than, I mean, I've been working on playlists. Okay. You know, this little rental's got, Bluetooth connectivity, so I can load. There's a bajillion songs, and I can just hit random, and see what it, because there's this weird thing that goes on between me, and my playlist. There's something about that phone, and it's kind of eerie and lots of creepy. But it's a pretty good DJ. I mean, back in January when I was headed to D.C., and there's so when you get off of I-64 eastbound onto I-81 northbound, it's one of those things I hate more than anything else in the world of highway driving. It's a left-handed on-ramp and a off-ramp and a left-handed on-ramp. So you're actually merging into the crazy lane.
Yeah.
And so I'm coming around there. One song ends, and boom. And I've got the Allegro Monotropo from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony playing as I'm burying my foot in the floorboard, trying to keep from getting run down by a monster truck. And I have to say, the setting was perfect, and I had nothing to do with that. So the random button's kind of cool. So I'll probably, Agnes and I, and then inevitably, we'll turn the music down to talk at each other, and we'll wind up talking for, 14 hours, which is going to be really fun.
Yeah.
Because we kind of like talking together. It's like when we look at each other at the end of the day and just at the same time say, best part of the day, right before we turn out the lights.
Oh, Bob, you're going to make me cry.
Oh, I'm not trying to. Dadgummit.
No, love is a beautiful thing. It really is.
Well, thank
you. It really
you.
Is.
But I'm looking forward to it.
I'm feeling your radiance. You're radiating like 1,000 points of light all by yourself, Bob.
Well, thank you. Thank you very kindly. I'll get the Geiger counter. I'll have Agnes bring the family Geiger counter in and make sure that none of those are gamma rays or anything.
Yeah, make sure you cap your cocktails before you go to the bathroom too.
Absolutely. And I've been really, really good to my gut for a really long time, so I'm hoping maybe I can be, I'm not going to go crazy. It's not going to be an Epicurean, but if I want, we're not talking about drinking or anything, but if I want, I'm going to have it, at least until I'm gonna use that moderation in all things approach. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Well,
it shouldn't take too much. It shouldn't take too much to get a good buzz either,
Well, I mean, there won't be any buzzing, but dadgummit, we'll find natural ways of triggering the endorphins. Let's put it that way.
Love is a many splendor thing. Da 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 da. Well, thank you, Bob, for sharing that. And I wanted to say that last couple of days ago I was complaining that I was feeling abandoned, but I found out that the guy right up the street at the Pear Center is my go-to when my therapist is not available.
Oh.
And he's a perfect person. He likes to do karaoke. So anybody that likes to sing is okay with me.
Yeah, you'll be able to bond. You'll be able to at least establish a sort of simpatico connection, I trust.
Yes. Well, we got 3 out-of-town gigs, not this weekend, but the next weekend. So we're taking it on the road.
Oh, wow.
Very
far down the road?
Well, we're playing the Sumter Music Festival on Eclipse Eve. And Sumter Valley is way up in northeast Oregon, right on the edge of the Wallowa Lake and the what they call the Alps of Oregon.
Are you in the Eclipse band?
We're right on the edge of it. We're going to get about 95% without leaving town.
Because that one story I had earlier in the week that predicted well, at least concerns for a certain amount of chaos attending all of this. What is it, a 70-mile-wide strip across the entire continental United States?
Oh, yeah, the local joke is, it's going to rain that day. Go to Idaho.
Tourism schmourism. Go away.
But I tell you, if it gets, you know, this fire season keeps going the way it's going, we may have trouble just, you know, being outside in the smoke.
Well, true enough, but if you've got your respirator on, the smoke may provide enough relief that you can look directly at the eclipse. I did not say that.
I'm sure somebody's gonna be passing out, bongs with glasses included, you know. So
it's the only way to view. Well, Clarity, thank you very much, and
my pleasure.
Chime in through the course of the conversation. This is not a series of one-on-one conversations. It's supposed to be a conversation among everybody, not just me and somebody else. But Billable Rick, I wanted to thank you for establishing the first challenge of the evening. We got $260 to go. Rick just kicked 20 along and said, you said what? If somebody matches that, you'll kick another 20 in?
Exactly, Bob, yeah.
Yep. Beautiful. Beautiful. Will you ever forgive me for saying that firing Mueller will not be sufficient cause for an emergency broadcast?
Oh, well, of course, Bob. You got other better things to do than doing a program, right?
Well, I hate to say that, but being useless is a thing to do, isn't it?
It is. It's very refreshing, actually. And you're going to have a blast. Now, do you know what your first stop is yet or not?
Well, sadly, yeah, because it's going to be a funeral.
Bummer.
Yeah, a dear friend of mine passed away, and that's going to be the first stop. But after that, we will try to celebrate in his honor.
Yeah, come out to California since you got a whole week.
No. believe you me, you have no idea how I'd love to. I still have that. I still have that crazy idea of the great big month-long ache campaign fundraising tour up the California coast. But not this time. Not this time.
I hear you. A week's not really long enough to do it. You know.
No, and that's the thing. A week's not really long enough to do much of anything when you get right down to it. Except just sort of be useless somewhere. To go somewhere and really absorb the ambiance of somewhere, you know, you need a week at that place, at least.
Yeah, pretty much you do. Pretty much you do. Are you going to any national parks or anything or not?
No. Okay. Probably going to check out some historical sites and you know, pick and choose and see places that Agnes has never seen before, but I have, and maybe some places that neither of us have seen.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have it's a well-deserved rest. I mean, that's 12 or 13 years is way too long without a vacation, you know? That's for sure. And, I just found this out, Bob. I don't know why I didn't hear about it before. Ara Parseghian just died this past week on Wednesday.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. 94 years old. Yeah. Yeah, he, of course, led Notre Dame, I think, to the top spot. And before that, he coached at Northwestern and actually had them at number one at one point in time. So
I didn't know Northwestern had ever been number one.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I guess I'm reading this article. He beat Ohio State 21-0. In like 1958, and the players carried him off the field afterwards. But he left Northwestern because he tired of the fact that there wasn't much enthusiasm for, you know, for the team and for football there. And so he apparently contacted Notre Dame and said, hey, I want to be somewhere where, you know, people, you know, I believe in emotionalism and athletics. And I know they have it at Notre Dame, and I know I can do better there. And so he got hired at Notre Dame and led them to number one. And he was actually the third winningest coach at Notre Dame behind, as far as percentage, behind Newt Rockne and Frank Leahy. So quite the guy.
And, well, indeed, and you mentioning Northwestern. I heard that there used to be an old gag with highway signs in Illinois.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, you'd have State Highway 52, and it would say Illinois 52, and some wise ass would put under it Northwestern nothing.
Oh, well, actually, when I attended Northwestern for a couple of years in the early 80s when they had their winnings or losing streak, they set an all-time losing streak of like 36 straight. And I remember my friend from Iowa came for, or actually from Purdue came for a week, and I think Purdue beat Northwestern like 59-0 or something crazy like that, but they were horrible. And the coach didn't lose his job. It was Dennis Green, who was the coach at the time.
They were who we thought they were. Yeah. Dennis Green.
There you go.
He will go down in history for that one moment. They were who we thought they were.
Yeah. Was he referring to Northwestern?
No, that was the fit that they that was the, and it was out of character because he was fairly mild-mannered. That was the fit that he threw over his Arizona Cardinals in a preseason game, losing, blowing like a 30, 28.
It was a regular season game, Bob.
Was it a regular season game? I thought it was preseason.
Yeah, it was a regular season game. It was a regular season game.
And they blew like a 28-point lead.
Of course, I remember.
But they blew some gigantic lead, and somebody asked him about it, and he said, "We prepared for the Bears." And
yeah, they were up. I remember that game. They were up 23-0, and the Bears came back and won without scoring a single touchdown on offense. It was like two defensive touchdowns and a special teams touchdown and a couple of field goals.
Mm.
So yeah, Chicago came from 23 points down without their offense scoring a single touchdown.
Yeah,
I remember Denny Green from being coach of my Vikings back in 98 when, you know, he decided to, you know, kneel down in the last 2 minutes instead of go for the win in that NFC title game against Atlanta. But that's another story.
Okay, well, I think I've got the clip here. Let's see, just to refresh people's memories. Damn it, where'd it go?
Four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? We shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, Coach.
Don't hurt us.
Yeah, see, he was referring to their previous meeting in the preseason.
Yeah, that's what had me thinking.
Where they had met in the preseason, and then they met later in the regular season, yeah.
And by the way, hi, Laurel. Been a while. How are you?
Long time no talk, Bob.
Yeah, it has been too long.
Nice to speak with you again.
It's a pleasure.
I've been just kind of keeping a low profile and monitoring LT through his one month grounding. He decided to take out the car one night and go chasing things, and you know,
it's terrible when they go through that juvenile delinquent phase.
But he's back. He's back off. You know, he's back off of the grounding now. He's playing with the girl next door now, and you know, back enjoying life again. He's just not going to be behind the wheel again anytime soon. So
well, good. Yeah, you've taken away the, and he'll have fun now that Daddy's taken the T-Bird away.
Exactly.
speaking of a song reference. Bill Baruch, any concerts on the horizon before, two Fridays from now? That's our next get together.
Yeah, let's see here. Let me look at my calendar here, Bob. I did see a really good concert on Monday night. I sort of did it at the last minute. I couldn't resist the $20 tickets. I saw Counting Crows led off, and then Matchbox 20 with Rob Thomas. Just tremendous.
Wow, they're still out there. I mean, they had a couple of good songs back then. I love that I'm Not Crazy, I'm Just a Little Insane thing.
Yeah, no, he's very talented. He, you know, they actually had, he had quite a few songs I recognized, but...
And then there, boy, was, the, there like, was the song yeah. He did the vocal for Santana.
Oh, Smooth.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Loved that one.
I was hoping he would do that, but apparently that's not Matchbox 20 music, so he didn't play that one.
You probably have to do, Santana.
Yeah. I mean, he could have done it if they had the right, you know, instruments to play that song, you know. But maybe they didn't, you know. But
By the right instrument, you mean Carlos Santana wasn't standing by.
Well, there you go. I mean, it's kind of like it's got kind of a flamenco beat, doesn't it? I think there's like a special guitar that they play for that song. I'm not sure. You know, for Smooth. I mean, a lot of Santana songs they play. I don't know if it's a 12-string guitar or what it is exactly.
I think Santana he plays a special edition handmade Paul Reed Smith that even dentists can't afford.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I saw him last summer with Journey, it was. And that was a great show. I guess so. So that's the deal. That was the deal on Monday. And then I'm going to see Steve Miller Band with Peter Frampton on this coming Thursday. And then the B-52s play next Saturday on a free concert in downtown L.A. So I'm going to that one. That'll be fun.
Yeah, you make it sound like L.A. is just comprised of a bunch of music moochers. All this free music going on. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, we are, and there's some free music this Saturday. I haven't decided whether to go or not, but Toad the Wet Sprocket, and then 10,000 Maniacs, again, a free concert at Pershing Square, downtown LA. So,
well, working in a casino, I get to hear a lot of free concerts. You know, they actually pay me to hear concerts. We had a blast from the past in our show lounge just a couple weeks ago. Gary Puckett and the Union Gap.
Oh yeah. Remember them? Oh yeah.
Well, but I gotta ask you. You just put one out there a couple of minutes ago. Now, see, I would make the effort for 10,000 Maniacs, but only if Natalie Merchant is fronting them.
I doubt that she is these days. Let me look here. I doubt she is because she's on. I see that she's on tour herself. This summer she gave a show, I think, at the Greek earlier in the summer.
That's a good point, Bob. Without Natalie, it's not.
Well, she's got one of those voices that is unique and captivating, and she's one of my favorite female vocalists. And
she's listed here on the Wikipedia page as a member from 1981 to 1993.
She's very progressive too, and that's a huge plus.
Yeah. And I'm looking here for the current members. I don't think they have a female in the band anymore. Oh, they have a Mary Ramsey, apparently. I don't know anything about her. She must sing the Natalie Merchant. She sings lead vocals, so.
That's the feeling. It'll be a good show, though. You can count on it. These guys are professionals.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
well,
it'll blow your head off, Natalie removed or not.
September 23rd, Bruce Hornsby's coming to our house.
Oh,
he's
really?
Do a show. Yes.
That'll be fun.
Your gambling house.
Yep.
Okay, I thought he was going to put on like a private show for
him. I wish he would, I wish he would. I mean, that's... I ain't got any birthday parties that big, but.
Okay, keyboardist.
I looked up Mary Ramsey real quick. Okay, yeah, she'll probably be good.
Okay.
She's a fiddle player.
Oh, I see that. Yeah, a viola. Yeah.
And she's.
She's worked with Jackson Brown, Goo Goo Dolls, Billy Bragg, Warren Zevon. Yeah, so. Classically trained violinist playing since the age of 5. Okay. Yeah, well, I think, you know, maybe that's worth it. Yeah.
Their handlers would not even accept her if she wasn't the utmost professional. So it'll be good. You can count.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, there's just so many incredibly talented musicians. I mean, you know, I'm always blown away at these concerts by how good the musicianship is, you know. And this is really, you know, the concert part is the fun part of a show for the musicians. The rehearsing must be the drudgery, but, you know, the concert is the reward, and they must get, you know, speaking of endorphins, Bob, they must get a lot of natural endorphins by hearing all those cheers at the concerts, you know?
Oh, it's better than
not quite as good as, no, not quite as good as, let's say.
It's better
than chocolate cake, but not quite as good as.
It's better than chocolate cake, but not as good as chocolate cake with two scoops of ice cream when everybody else only has one.
Oh, it was the best chocolate cake ever, right?
It was the best chocolate cake
ever.
Jeez. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to announce that Fab met your challenge and then some. So,
wonderful.
that leaves $139 to go.
Okay.
To clear the evening and clear the week and send us, merrily down the road, I guess. Yeah.
Well, Karen's playing the lottery, Bob. If she hits, I may be able to cover that. I'll let you know. Stay tuned.
Don't. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Don't spend your winnings quite yet, Steve, okay?
Oh, no. She's got to give me the green light. She's the boss.
Does Cletus have anything, like, dug under the ground or not?
Yeah, occasionally. That's when we're really in hard times, Cletus will go out in the yard and dig up some bones. But
well, you know.
Haven't instructed her to yet. Bob, do you want to transition into politics? Or
well,
do you
want in a minute, I want to check in. I think that's John over there next to you, Steve. Is that you, John?
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We are rocking merrily along, I think.
I don't want to walk down this trail if you don't want me to, you know.
What trail?
But go ahead, John. The political trail. We're
having
too much fun.
No. We've got it.
Having too much fun with Gordo. You know?
No, this is just the hi, how are you part. You know, you don't just walk over to the back fence, you know, back behind the clothesline with the laundry blowing in the breeze and start talking politics. You got to, you know, how's the neighbor? Has Gordo gotten, have you gotten Gordo over the worms? You know, that kind of stuff. And then you know, then the real meat of the conversation begins.
Too funny. Bring John in, Bob. I'm sorry.
Speaking of Gordo, that's my middle name. It's not my middle name, but my brother calls me Gordo. It's Gordon. so he calls me Gordo. So I hope I don't have worms, Bob.
Oh, I do too, and I hope you don't drag your ass across your brother's sofa too, Rick. But I mean.
There you go. I'll let John talk now.
Hey, John.
Yeah, so, hey, guys. So I'm wondering, why does the for-profit media want us to be so upset about this Jim Justice guy switching parties? You know, they're trying to hype this up like, oh, it was a red letter day for the Democratic Party. It's just like, I'm not a big believer in purges. But I got to tell you, some of the members of the purity progressive, you know, faction, they love it that he twitched parties like that. They love it not because of the demise of the Democratic Party or anything like that. They love it because they want people like him out of the party, you know. So, and I got to tell you, I'm right there with him.
But John, how simple are they? He never was of the party, in the party, by the party, for the party. God. Damn it. Sorry. Not
yelling. It's a classic. Oh, I know. Yeah, you're emphasizing the fact of the matter. And the fact of the matter is this was a classic bait and switch. He did that to get on the ballot and steal from the Democratic Party. And that's all it was. You know, that's what he did.
And he did it at the behest of his buddy Joe Manchin.
who had not nary a word to say about this.
Oh, no.
By the way, because I looked on his Twitter.
He's silent as a graven image.
Yep. You know, and it's just I'm getting sick and tired of right-wingers using the party, you know, the Democratic Party, love it or hate it. You know what I mean? I'm sick and tired of people like that using this party to give them more power to like this, that people like Joe Manchin even. They use it as a vehicle to gain power in certain ways. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of a way to explain it, but they always use the Democratic Party as their beating to as like a whipping boy or something. So to speak.
But
you know what I mean?
See, this would have meaning. It would have relevance. If it was Joe Manchin finally doing what we all know he is anyway and becoming a Republican, it would be news. It would alter the balance of power to a certain extent in the Senate. It would throw the 2018 senatorial race in West Virginia into absolute chaos. But this is enough. Yes. This is a nothing burger. This is just.
It really is.
This is
Well, Bob, he's a
this
caricature.
Is clickbait.
He really is. Jim Justice is a caricature. He reminds me of a character out of a Coen Brothers movie.
Is that you, John?
Oh, am I making a noise? I'm sorry. I'm putting groceries away. I guess I'm making a bunch of noise. Let me mute while I'm not talking here.
Yeah, sorry, not to be a dick or anything, but
But he is a character from a Coen Brothers movie. I don't know if you remember the old brother where art there where
of
they ran
I do.
The dickhead out on a rail, but that's what Jim Justice reminds me of, you know. And I'm going to paste a photo of him in the chat room so everybody can see what I'm trying to compare him to.
Absolutely. I thought you were going to compare him to the John Goodman character with the ball.
Oh, the Bible salesman. Yeah, that would work too. Either one, I know, but. Geez, I mean, what happened last night in West Virginia? Just it was heartbreaking.
Well, no, but it wasn't.
I've got people, you know, I'm from that part of the country, Bob.
Yeah.
And who was that dude with the black shirt?
I was talking with Jim about it last night, and he thought that dude looked like a lady.
And you were saying he's a snake handler, and I didn't have any video in front of me, and I went back and looked at him, and I was like, man.
Dude looks like a lady.
Sorry.
Glad you caught the reference. he was in a religious ecstasy.
If something wasn't right, it's like he dropped a couple tabs and went to a political rally or something.
It wouldn't be the first time, you know. Maybe licked some slippery elm bark or something, you know.
You don't know.
I don't know. No,
of course you don't. That'd be like asking me if I knew somebody from Macon, Georgia. No, of course not. But
do you know somebody from Macon, Georgia?
No, not anybody that would stand behind Trump, you know, and
okay,
just, act all I'm crazy.
Just trying to get clear on that.
But yeah, that was just over the top, man.
It was theater.
Yeah. Oh, it turns out
Justice hadn't told any of his staff. So when the New York Times started calling West Virginia to get confirmation. That's how Justice's staff actually found out what Justice was going to do. So it was, you know, it was done for shock value.
And I remember when
what about the FBI director who found out he was getting fired during one of his meetings? I forgot his name already.
Rince Priebus, who got dumped on the tarmac?
Yeah.
When all this was going on, Bob was saying, this looks like a snake handler.
Survivor White House is what it is.
All right. I'm out for a second. I got a call come in.
Okay. But John, I get your point where all of this is, where this business is concerned, but it's not. It's a far bigger deal outside West Virginia than it is in it. And I don't know if you read Charlie Pierce over his blog over at Esquire.com, but I highly recommend it. You know, you were talking. You made reference to. You know, the Purity Brigade. Well, he kind of addressed the purity issue in a broad form, and it's some beautiful language. I mean, he's a brilliant writer. And you know, he is where he is, but he said, presented with a legitimate national crisis in the White House and presented with the golden political opportunity that said crisis is almost entirely the fault of the Republican Party, which has demonstrated that it is wholly incapable of handling it, the Democratic Party has a chance to realign the electoral map at least the next 4 years. All that's required is shrewdness, patience, and the ability to resist cannibalizing themselves long enough to watch the dry rot collapse the other side entirely. And then he says, fat fucking chance. Right at the moment, the main issues within the Democratic Party seem to be, in no particular order, Kamala Harris, threat or menace, Cory Booker, sure, legal weed, but Wall Street, and that evergreen squabble, Bernie or Hillary, why 2016 will never end. And he says, the current counterproductive exercises render promising Democratic politicians, including Harris and Booker, into toys for the ideological imagination and not real people with the real potential to help end the political and governmental crisis in which the country placed itself last November. This willingness by Democrats to accept the pejorative images created of potential allies by the political opposition is even more virulent in the case of Nancy Pelosi. And goes from there. Which is something that I've been, you know, all of which I've been kind of talking about for months. We seem to lack the ability to understand that in November elections, we choose the better candidate, and the best candidate isn't always there.
Exactly.
It's not that hard for me to comprehend. I don't think it is for you either, but our politics have been so thoroughly transformed into reality television that it's all about finding out who gets kicked off the island and who forms the toxic alliance that allows somebody to win that ought not win, that everybody hates. I mean, isn't that always the way reality television works out?
Well, Bob, you know, the first vote I ever cast will be my best. First ever vote I cast was for Paul Wellstone. And I don't think I'll ever cast another vote for somebody that amazingly good, but I've never left the Democratic Party as a result. I've always voted Democrat, regardless of how far they stray from Wellstone. Because it's not a party of, you know, it's not a party of ideology, it's a party of principle.
And
I think we need to learn to decouple the two things somehow.
I don't know if it's necessarily a decoupling, Laurel. As it is just an ability to put things in some sort of prioritized order, like, you know, manning the women and children first into the lifeboats before we start talking about whether or not we need to replace the dining room decor in the goddamn Titanic. And Charlie Pierce brings up, and I'd read it. You know, there are moments out there of sublime stupidity, and it's part of some sort of pernicious disease that seems to be making its way through the Democratic Party about how and I've referenced it because it's a matter of seeking the impossible. Ray Lujan is the chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the DCCC. DCCC, goddamn, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Right? I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how the Jim Justice flop is Debbie Wasserman Schultz's fault, but never mind. Ray Lujan said that the DCCC would be willing to support an anti-choice candidate as long as they fit the districts in which they were running. And what does that mean? That means that we're going to pander to the fetus lobby. It is a tacit admission on Ray Lujan's part that the fetus lobby is more powerful, and you know, it probably is, but that the fetus lobby is more powerful than the rational lobby. The fetus lobby is more powerful than the constitutional rights lobby. Look, I mean, it's like having it's what I said. You know, you're looking for a leprechaun. You're looking for a 6 foot tall leprechaun riding a 3-legged sparkly unicorn with wings. When you start talking about running a pro-life, pro-gun, pro-coal, pro-God, pro-fetus, anti-choice, progressive in a state like West Virginia.
Wasn't that Natalie Tennant? So you're basically what you just said is referring to that Natalie Tennant pretty much, right? Because she was pro-life and stuff. And real quick, like if we pander a little bit to pro-life people, would you say that would turn women off more or less? You know what I mean? Would that bring in?
I don't know. How would you feel if, for the sake of political expediency, your political party said that it was willing to sell your particular constitutional rights down the goddamn river?
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. What I'm saying is, like, a lot of people – I saw a statistic way back in November after the election that the reason why a lot of the white women voted for Trump – and let's be clear about one thing real quick. I did hear a couple people say that he won women overall. That is not true. She won women overall when you look at ages, young women, you know, women, black women and Latino women, all that kind of stuff. All in all, she won them. But he won white women with a pretty healthy majority. And so she basically won a minority majority of women. And I also heard that a lot of times Democrats usually lose white women anyway. But I just wanted to throw that one out there real quick because I heard a couple of people say.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what the real big the notion that somehow there's a magic spell, an incantation or something that will bring all the disaffected, bigoted, racist, Klansman, skinhead, neo-Nazi, light fart reading, disgruntled white people back into the Democratic fold. You know, they've been trying to do this shit since Ronald Reagan, and it doesn't work, and it hasn't worked. But there is a huge coalition that can be built out there that will be a fucking steamroller, all right? And the right wing can't stand up against it. And that is a coalition of everybody. A coalition that does recognize, of everybody agreeing that, you know, we need good jobs, we need decent pay, we need health care, we need to preserve our rights, and that's a millennial coalition, it's a brown coalition, it's a black coalition, and you know what, surprisingly enough, I mean, here I am, it's a white coalition too. But trying to figure out a way to bring a bunch of people who there is never any goddamn way they are ever, 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 ever going to vote for a Democrat into the fold is a fool's fucking errand.
We live in a society, Bob, where I'm going to be spending some time 17 days from now somewhere in Nebraska saving virgins from being sacrificed during the eclipse. That's the kind of society we live in.
I hope you're successful, Arel.
No, I've got 95% coverage here.
We are a mentally ill society. We are a mentally ill society. That's all there is to it. Okay.
I think we always have been. Just seems to be getting worse, you know?
I've got a question for Bob and Rick, being sir, they've got legal knowledge, and if it's okay, I'd like to throw it out there now.
Go, man.
You think the leaks about when Trump was talking to the Russians and the Australians. Do you really think that came from within? I do. I think Trump
actually did
that.
It absolutely, yeah. It absolutely came from within the White House.
That way they could get Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions out there to make hay about leaks today and take your eyes off the shiny keys and don't look over here, look over there.
Well, what is it we're not supposed to be looking at?
Yeah, right.
The Russian investigation.
I think it's more likely that, I mean, a lot of this stuff isn't necessarily diversionary. It just becomes diversionary because everything diverts from something else. It's some sort of theory of mutuality. I don't know what else to call it. It's all diversionary, but no, there's somebody inside the White House that is desperately, or a lot of somebodies who are desperately trying to provide some sort of context for the sake of history. You know, the news is just the most recent version of history. They're trying to provide something upon which we can build a history of what a goddamn, I mean, this regime is a bag of flaming poo left on America's front step with the doorbell rung. And somebody's trying to make sure that we know what's in the bag before we stomp on it.
Well, Bob, if I could take that a step further, please. They actually had the reporter that broke this story on the news, and he vetted this with White House representatives, and they told him, run with it. Don't admit anything. Take it and run with it.
Right, and Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions today was out there saying, if you're going to be a leaker, let me give you some advice. Don't do it. And the thing is, there is reason to believe that that only works if Donald Trump himself was watching the television. That son of a bitch may be one of the leakers. He's got a habit of it. Remember years and years ago?
I'm so glad you said that.
When he called up and it was so obviously him, it wasn't even funny. He called up some reporter saying he was John Miller to talk about what an awesome fuck Donald Trump is, and you know how big his junk is, and how long he lasts, and how women dig him, and it was Trump, goddamn it.
Oh yeah, if you would have did a voice analysis, you know, through an electro scam, you would have seen that
it wasn't even necessary. The person on the other end of the line went, "Well, this is Trump." Okay, so this shit really. But I want to throw this in there about the whole conversation with the president of Mexico. The line in there, the buried lead in there is, hey, listen, this wall issue isn't that important to me, but it's the most important political issue. It's what my followers care about, but it's not that big a deal.
They think I'm great.
In other words, you know, he really does know the intellectual caliber of his base. And he wouldn't be caught. He wouldn't sit down to. Do you think he would sit down to a Sunday dinner or dinner on the ground at a church, some little country church in West Virginia? Not on your goddamn life, he wouldn't.
And his face is that dude in the black shirt, if you look at that video from last night, sitting directly behind him. And then, like you said, Bob, I thought he was going to break out a snake and start passing it around at any time.
Oh, he was grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush.
So that begs the question, why are these people willing to throw the country away for this one guy?
Because he is satisfying their atavistic urges for revenge. They don't care if the whole country comes down around them because they, by God, see it all as a zero-sum game. And if somebody else is going to have something they don't have, fuck it. Nobody can have it. I mean, anybody who's ever watched someone go through it, you ever done any divorce law, Rick?
No, but I'm somewhat familiar with it.
Well, conceptually. One of the parties will go through this phase of, well, you know, I don't want him, but I don't want anybody else to have him, or I don't want her, but nobody else can have her. And that's the way these people are. And they believe the bullshit that they're told. I mean, look, it is a verifiable fact that coal jobs are actually up in West Virginia. Trump wasn't lying. But you got to ask yourself, why is that? There's no particular market dynamic that you can point to. Coal jobs are up because that whole thing is run as a cruel and cynical bit of politicization of the workplace. As soon as the layoffs came during Obama to create hatred for him, and then the layoffs, the people were called back to work once Trump came into office to, I mean, it's Pavlov's dog stuff. So people in West Virginia salivate when he rings the bell.
And don't beat your state up, Bob. People in Georgia stand will do the same fucking thing, man. Same thing. And Trump is taking credit for all these numbers rising, you know, the GDP and the unemployment. However, if you would have flipped that, the numbers were tanking, he would say, oh, it's Obama's fault. You could take that to the fucking grave. He would say, oh, it's Obama's fault, if the numbers were going the other way. I mean, these people are so transparent, a 10-year-old could see what they're actually trying to fucking do.
Well, true enough, but fuck the numbers, okay? So am I supposed to believe that because the Dow has crossed 22,000, that suddenly all the people I know around here who are lucky to make, if they get 30 hours a week making $10 an hour, that they're just they're shitting in high cotton and living the big life with frisbees and wheat checks now? Because it ain't fucking happening. Oh man, I'm throwing around the F-bomb something fierce. I apologize.
Yeah, me too, and I apologize. I don't mean to be this crude. I don't.
If I could just be a little more specific, though, my understanding is that the coal jobs are only up by a total of 300 since Trump took office. So it's not like everybody's getting reemployed in the coal industry.
300 jobs. 300
yeah,
jobs.
That's 300 jobs. But that's nationally.
Oh, it's okay. It's more in West Virginia.
But,
okay.
But in West Virginia, it's up. It's like it's Jesus. Like, what was the number I read? I'll have to look it up here. Something like 18%. It's crazy. But the thing is, there's nothing to point to. There's not a sudden surge in demand for thermal coal from West Virginia because everybody's moved over to frack gas. Okay, so it's artificial. It's a manipulated moment.
What about metallurgic coal? What about the metallurgic coal? Is there there's an increased amount of that, right?
Oh, holy sacred met coal. I haven't seen any big up or down. I mean, I drove to Charleston earlier this week, and I saw the same loaded up coal train more than a mile long getting ready to pull into a silicon manufacturing plant with furnaces and stuff that I see every week. And it's not the same train.
Hello.
So, give me a second here. I think I can,
you got somebody trying to break in, Bob.
I do? No.
I thought I just heard somebody say hello.
No. That was somebody in the background of one of the calls.
Okay. My bad. All apologies.
Bob, is it possible that some of these companies are getting paid to hire workers to put them on payroll and then just, you know, to make Trump look better? I wouldn't put it past him.
Let's see. While the effect on the trajectory of coal's long decline is not yet clear, the Trump administration has ushered in many changes geared by the industry. In the process of dismantling the Clean Power Plan, affecting power plants, signed a congressional repeal of the stream protection rule that lets coal companies dump their coal filth back in streams and bury freshwater streams again. Data from the United States Mine Safety and Health Administration. Recent analysis showed nationally average coal mine employment is up about 0.5% over the prior quarter, while production declined for the second straight quarter, this time by about 5.9%. So production's down. Employment nationally is up by 0.5%. Coal jobs in West Virginia are up 18.3% year over year in the second quarter, according to a new Standard & Poor's Global Market Intelligence Analysis of Federal Data, and up about 12.2% compared to the fourth quarter of 2016. Aha! Fourth quarter of 2016. That's when all the layoffs came on. That were the third and fourth quarters of 2016 is when all the layoff notices went out, because they wanted to weaponize coal workers to get out there and vote for Trump. The year-over-year increase represents about 2,132 jobs, while the increase from the final quarter of 2016 represents about 1,493 jobs. West Virginia coal production has also grown, with mines accounting for about 99.9% of all first quarter production. Reporting second quarter data, production is up 24.1 million tons, down slightly from 24.2 million tons in the second quarter, but up 22.8% over last year.
How long is that going to last, though?
It'll last until they have to punish the workers to re-weaponize them for political purposes. Because it'll last until they until they play out another mine. Part of the, some of that coal is coming off of Coal River Mountain, where all that blasting that isn't happening is happening, and all those people not getting poisoned are getting poisoned.
Again, I go back to, why are these people willing to give up, their health and their safety for this one man?
It's 125-year-old trade-off, John. People have been giving up their health and well-being for over a century. And so it's for a handful of people, it's all there is.
It kind of scares me, though. The fact that he's still doing these campaign rallies, I mean, and not to get off in the weeds here, but the Republican Party is allowing this clown to go around and campaign during his first 6 months. I mean, that's scary shit. A guy I was talking to today that voted for Trump, who is, gives me a Nazi salute every day as a joke because I shave my head because I'm going bald. And he thinks I'm a skinhead or something and gives me a Nazi salute. And he's told me a couple of, one time there was a black person that they hired at my work. He comes up to me and goes, "I don't like the color of his skin." And he was serious, but he's big into Trump. And he was saying about how he was at West Virginia yesterday. And he's like, he cares about people. He wants to go out and see his people, because somebody was talking about him doing a rally. I said, dude, that's what dictators do.
Wait, John. Let me ask you, what would have happened? You remember when the shit hit the fan early on in Snot Walker's regime there in Wisconsin, and a lot of people said, "Why the hell hasn't Barack Obama gone out there to stand with the people who are standing up for their rights?" What would have happened?
Yeah.
What would have happened early in the Barack Obama administration if he had been doing what Trump is doing now? Well, the right wing would have said, "God damn it, he's trying to set himself up as a dictator." Whereas, maybe 2010 wouldn't have happened. Maybe it wouldn't have gotten worse in 2012 and 2014. But it's. Or maybe he just felt like he was too busy actually being president, because that's another part of this. This going out and being adored is the only part of the job that Trump likes. Isaac tweeted me something earlier today. It was a quote, lo and behold, from Donald Trump, his own mouth. He's on vacations, you know, he's going on a 17-day vacation to that nasty little place he owns in New Jersey. You don't take vacations. What's the point? If you're not enjoying your work, you're in the wrong job. And that's from his book, Think Like a Billionaire. So I guess we can assume that Donald Trump has admitted that he's in the wrong job. Because he's damn sure taken, he has taken more vacation time in 6 months than Barack Obama took in 8 years.
He's the junkyard mutt that finally caught the car and now doesn't know what the hell to do with it.
I guess. Although I rather have a fondness for car chasing dogs. I like dogs generally. I don't like Trump.
As long as they don't get behind the wheel like mine did.
Well, damn it! You know, that was a mess. LT's young. He's gonna make his mistakes. It's.
Yeah, he's only a two-year-old. Let him get through it,
right,
I guess.
I mean, he's 14 years old in people years. So, you know, that's just, you know, you just have to, as a parent, Laurel, you just have to treat that as a teachable moment. By the way, we're very nearly to the halfway mark of the third hour, and I really hate making a mention of it, but I guess we're going to have a Friday on the Front Porch miracle of sorts, if it is at all possible. Between Billable Rick and our buddy Fab, we have $139 yet to go in fundraising for the evening. And that's not even with us coming in with a, you know, one of those great big whopping $600 holes in the ground where, you know, we got to turn on the reverb and you know, send Lassie out to find the sheriff. This was a fairly small amount, but we got $139 of it remaining. Oh, hell, let's live a little. Let's round it up to $140. So 14 at 10, 10 at 14, et cetera. But it would be really, really nice to just get that out of the way. And because, you know, a big part of de-stressing is, you know, de-stressing.
You know, Bobby,
Not that I'm crawling up on the cross. I'm not. No. We need the wood. But that's where we are.
You're just going to have to break down and get every new subscriber a free pack of Sea Monkeys from here on out, you know? Incentivizing is over here.
Okay, so we need to go down the Alex Jones road. does anybody know, I mean, are Sea Monkeys still a going concern? Can we just sort of glom onto that and get some brine shrimp eggs and somebody in the Horn Family Community Congregation can do the artwork and everybody gets a free pack of Sea Monkeys?
Yeah, something like that.
Because I'm not gonna ask anybody to drink artificially chocolate flavored chicken bone broth. there's too much of a love of good food going on around here. Jesus Christ! And the funny thing, when John Oliver did that whole takedown of Alex Jones, he ran a video clip of Alex Jones drinking that filth, and the look on Alex Jones's own face was precious. So
I've got to see that whenever I get back to start watching television again.
it's well worth your effort. Hey, let's run over and check in. Charlie's in the room down in Tennistan. Hey, Charlie.
I was muted, Bob. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It takes a minute.
Yeah, how's things going on with you?
Pretty happy, pretty excited. Getting ready to hit the road.
Yeah. Well, our roads got all clogged up yesterday when Pence came down here, and
y'all were blessed with a visit by America's holiest man.
Yep.
What was he there to talk about? The fetuses, the demon-infested women vaginas, what?
I have no idea. I don't even keep up with it anymore.
Can't say as I blame you.
You know, I'm hoping the day will come for the people around here will realize that Trump is crazy. I mean, you know, he just...
They won't realize it, Charlie, until he hurts them personally.
And, like, you know, you got these people around here. It's the... You got the holy rollers around here that say, well, damn, you shouldn't have anything to hide. So we should be able to come up and search you anytime we want to, because you shouldn't have anything to hide. But when Trump starts his, you know, when things get released about Trump's transcripts of his phone calls and all, these people go nuts. And, you know, old Foghorn Leghorn's, you know, going nuts now. So I don't know. It just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it doesn't. But when I say that it won't be real to them until he hurts them personally, you know, that's kind of the same thing that applies with climate change, Charlie. Even if your trailer gets blown down by an F5 tornado, if it doesn't have a signed leaflet left by Almighty God saying, by the way, you're having more tornadoes because of climate change, even when there's denial at work here. The really deep stuff, the stuff that goes all the way down to the lizard brain, and makes people say, well, you know, I mean, God's will, God let me survive. He took my house, but he let me survive. Isn't God good? Of course, my next door neighbor was blown through a window and died horribly, but God let me live. Praise God.
You know, I can't wait for the real show to start once the Arctic ice sheet starts disappearing on a regular basis come summer. That's going to be.
I thought we were already there.
We might already be there. I think it's going to start disappearing like late this summer, right around the time of the eclipse.
Laurel, you're looking for a day that's not going to come. Not because the Arctic ice sheets aren't going to melt, but nobody's going to say, "Hey, look, the scientists were right and we were wrong." It is God's judgment upon us for letting the homosexuals live.
Say what?
I'm back to saving virgins again.
I mean, you live among, Charlie.
There's dumb people down here, but I don't think that, well, yeah, there's a few of them that are that dumb.
Do you remember, there's empirical evidence. Don't you remember Hurricane Katrina?
Yep.
Don't you remember the preachers who said, God did that to New Orleans because of the drag queens, praise Jesus. When in fact, the gayest part of New Orleans was the only part of New Orleans that didn't get flooded.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like that guy up there. What was that guy that, he's dead now, but he was a Baptist minister, the Westboro Baptist Church or whatever.
The God hates bunch. But it also sounds like, it sounds like Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson talking after September 11th, 2001. You know, God has lifted the veil of protection from this nation, and it's because of secular humanists and people for the American way and lesbians.
Bob, what are these people going to do in the midst of a famine? I'm talking at you, Syria. I'm looking at you, Syria. What are these people going to do when the food runs out? I'm looking at you, Jim Baker, Mr. Bucking Pudding Head.
Well, he's got his bucket pudding, and he's damn well got the money from selling the bucket pudding, and he'll go somewhere where there is food, okay? And the rubes can sit there in sackcloth and ashes and rend their garments and castigate themselves for never having spent $1,600 a month on Jim Baker bucket pudding.
Is that what he wants?
What do you think these people are
going to
do when they're...
Yeah, Charlie, $1,600 a month.
Good God.
Well, I mean, at least as far as Jim Baker's concerned, he is. Good God, do you believe it? Hey, we sold 1,000 subscriptions for bucket pudding this month.
I'm just wondering if Trump will handle a food riot any better than Assad did. That's what I'm wondering. That keeps me up at night.
Look, that's just an opportunity, Laurel, to send out the militarized police And because the people that'll be rioting, you know, they're not going to be good Christians. The good Christians will sit quietly at home and pray for food. The people that'll get out in the streets, well, they're gonna deserve it because they're out in the streets. You don't understand how this works, do you, Laurel?
No.
Congratulations, that's how it works. If you're out in the streets rioting, it means you're asking to be killed. And by rioting, I mean standing somewhere minding your own business.
Well, that's why I famine-proofed myself by gaining 100 pounds over the last 7 years. Hopefully, I've given myself a little bit of a, you know, a genetic or, you know, 10,000-year-old genetic edge by, you know, taking use of the fact that I can maintain blubber easy. You know, I don't know.
It would be especially helpful if the Earth was going to get colder and not warmer.
But, yeah, everybody's luck has to run out sometime.
So, I mean, that's where we... And by the way, big thanks to Ralps for jumping in. Thank you, Ralps. That takes us down to 100 and... Let's see. It's actually 116 before rounding. It's 115. $115 to go. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so very, very, very much. It is deeply appreciated. And thank you, Silent R. Lamar, for the good review on my little conversation with Brad Friedman this afternoon. We were talking West Virginia again. So, had a nice conversation earlier today with my buddy Rick Smith. By the way, Silent R. Lamar pointing out, come on, Bob, the world, she is flat, like your head. Silent R. Lamar also has a good point by way of helping you understand things, Laurel. With all the people with guns, they can shoot their neighbors for the food.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm no good at this Alex Jones-style bullshit. Where we talk about what's going to happen when the apocalypse happens, and because you know that's tied in with it too. We've had discussions about what's called just in time. What is it? Just in time transportation. Where, you know, people have about 14 to 20 days of merchandise on the shelves. I mean, like, when we have a power outage here, which we have a lot, in the dead of winter, the first thing that's gone is every 1 pound bottle of propane within 3 counties. So it's real.
Well, this agriculture collapse, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what my ideology is all about. You know, I mean, that ice cap in the Arctic's our main stabilizing factor, and when that's gone, you know, you can say goodbye to about, you know, 90% of our agricultural output. You know, that's you know, I don't know how you maneuver through that. There isn't any governmental authority advised that can get through that, but it is what it is, you know? You know, I'm not trying to put any kind of philosophical statement on it. It's just that we happen to be embedded within a civilization that at its core is fundamentally unsustainable. And that's the unsustainability part of it, you know?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know,
someone wants to ask W.C. Fields to describe, you know, what it was like to go through the financial collapse of his, you know, financial empire. And he said, well, it happened slowly at first, and then all at once. Well, Bob, we're done with the slowly at first phase. From here on out, it's all at once, you know. And I don't think there's any way to really philosophically prepare for what's next, because everything is going to come faster and fiercer than we can ever imagine. And, you know, that's a bad note to leave you going out on a vacation with, but enjoy what time you have.
Gather ye rosebuds while you may.
Yes. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this eclipse trip. I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event, and, you know, I thank God I'm getting the opportunity to do it now because, you know, Another one's coming in 7 years, but I don't know if I'm going to be around to see it.
Well, I hope you find a mermaid virgin worth saving.
Thank you very much. Well, Nebraska.
Hey.
Who knows?
Look, I mean, here in West Virginia, we're looking for 6-foot-tall leprechauns riding 3-legged winged unicorns. So, you know.
It could happen.
It could happen.
Somewhere,
you know, same reason.
Somewhere along.
Same,
you know,
reason,
somewhere,
same reason people buy their lottery tickets. It could happen.
Somewhere along the banks of the Platte River, you never know.
And, there you go. And by the way, just a reminder, it's not going to be complete silence on the Horn stream. We'll have the rerun stream going in my absence. And hopefully that will, you know, there'll be something out there. And, you know, if I do have to do the emergency horn broadcast, then, well, I don't know. Maybe nobody will be listening because Bruga Bruga, maybe Kim Jong Crazy Pants will ride his very own missile, you know, right down on top of busted knuckle West Virginia. And then where will we be? there will be the rerun stream will be going. Ferg will be in charge of that. We'll keep it going.
It's about fighting what distracts you best. Yeah. Heck, over the past couple of weeks, I discovered this one program you could download off your computer. I found it from Japan, surprisingly enough. One of the places Kim Jong Crazy is probably going to bomb next, but it's one of these programs where you can actually make a computer-generated video with dancing people in it. I've been messing around with dancing video, creating dancing videos.
Oh, joy, I think.
Oh, God, that's how bad it's gotten.
it can always get worse. I mean, remember, one of the stories that we don't talk so much about, but is really... like I said, it has a sort of Balkan flavor to it, is the ongoing business with Qatar versus the rest of the so-called Muslim street. Reuters had a story, maybe like last Monday. Saudi Arabia's foreign minister called Qatar's demands for an internationalization of the Muslim Hajj pilgrimage a declaration of war against the kingdom, Saudi-owned Al Arabiya television said on Sunday, although it was this is the line that grabbed me, although it was unclear whether Qatar had actually made any such demand. So, in other words, Saudi Arabia has called something a declaration of war. And the something they called a declaration of war might not even have actually happened, but nonetheless. Qatar's demands to internationalize the holy sites is aggressive and a declaration of war against the kingdom, Adel El Jubeer was quoted saying on Al Arabiya's website. We reserve the right to respond to anyone who is working on the internationalization of the holy sites. Because, see... Apart from their military power and their oil power, Saudi Arabia exerts a profound amount of influence on the Muslim world by virtue of having control of Mecca. And that means that gives more power and prestige to the thugs of the Saudi Committee for Prevention of Vice and Promotion of Virtue, or whatever they call their goddamn maniac, barbarian, secret police that's run by, it's the Wahhabi police. It's not even a secret. These are the people who go around beating women for not being accompanied by men. And I guess the Qataris are having a hard time because... you know, Islam says that if it is all humanly possible, one of the great duties that you owe is to go and walk in a circle around a rock a couple of times or something in your lifetime. And it's a big damn deal and a big damn mess. Why God would anybody want anybody to go and walk around a rock? I got nothing. But it, you know, it's not like they've got a lock on their God wanting them to do silly things. But the telling part of this, and I say this by way of, okay, this is one of those things that could trigger an emergency broadcast. Serious bullshit going down in the Middle East. Reuters says it was unclear whether Qatar made the demand. It did accuse the Saudis of politicizing the Hajj and addressed the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Religion Saturday past, expressing concern about obstacles facing Qataris who want to attend Hajj this year. And all of those things are legitimate because the Saudis obviously politicize the Hajj because they politicize Mecca. So, and here's the fun, here's one of the interesting parts. See if this makes any sense, except from a cynical real politics standpoint. Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and Bahrain have previously issued a list of 13 demands for Qatar. Jesus Christ, God Almighty only had 10. Which include curtailing its support for the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, Qatar could easily say, that assumes facts not in evidence. We, you know, that's the when did you stop beating your wife question. Shutting down the Doha-based Al Jazeera channel. Now, what does Al Jazeera do? Al Jazeera does pretty damn good journalism. That's why they had to be run out of the United States. Closing a Turkish military base and downgrading its relations with Gulf enemy Iran. Gee, I wonder if one of those 13 demands was getting rid of the American presence, because we've got American military all over Qatar. But see, now this all happens because we have Dolt 45 in office. And he went over there and laid his hands on the magic orb.
And you know that giant eyeball in the sky hasn't stopped watching me since? It's creeping me out!
Listen, you should see what happens every time I turn a dollar bill over. That goddamn eyeball on the top of the pyramid is fucking moving, okay?
Get out of my mind!
And as Brother Deacon Asa points out, the serene Saudis don't like internationalization of the holy site because the annual pilgrimage is worth $14 billion to the serene, delicious, cuddly headloppers. The good headloppers. Aye! Right. Our partners in peace. The Saudis. The good headloppers. So, you know, that's just a thing to watch. And they might feel like they've got enough of a little coalition there to start a genuine, no kidding, sure enough, shooting war. Worth thinking about, worth paying attention to. Everything isn't North Korea. What was it Steve said a few minutes ago? About watching the shiny thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as long as this bastard's in office, August will never be boring again. By the way, I had a note in from Steve in New York. Headline, New York Times special counsel seeks White House documents on Flynn. Steve asks, is the firing of Mueller imminent? Well, he's going to have to really work at it. And you know what? If Trump says, "Oh, you're fired," and Bob Mueller just says, "Well, okay, I guess," that'll be really, really disappointing, because it's not entirely clear that he can do it. The only person who can do that is Rod Rosenstein, and he can't make anybody fire Rod Rosenstein because he can't get rid of Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions, who came out today with that just say no to leaking business, because yesterday Comrade Kumquat called him a mushmouth sissy redneck because he wasn't being hard enough on the leakers. Just, you know, a thing. Oh, let's see. We've got a few minutes left in the program. And apparently...
is that Scott?
Apparently Scott wants into the conversation. And by the way, we went down to 95 bucks to go thanks to Silent R. Lamar. Thank you, Silent R. Lamar. Thank you very, very much. And thank you very kindly to
hello, Dad.
To Paul. I had neglected to count that in the official tally. We are down to $55 to go on tonight's fundraising. Yeah, Scott, what's up?
I just want to make sure you could hear me today, because you couldn't hear me last night.
Yeah, yesterday was a little weird.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hang on. I want to take off speaker. Hang on. Okay. That should be better. I just got back from running errands and stuff, and I wanted to squeeze in under the wire before you shut things off for the night to wish you and Agnes a wonderful time off. For rest and recuperation and regrouping and just plain fun. And earlier, I don't know who mentioned do a news blackout, but definitely try to do as much of a news blackout as you can. It'll all be waiting for you when you get back.
I think that's guaranteed. It's not what's going to be waiting for me when I get back. It's what kind of. Because this happens, you know, when I go away on like ache work or mountaintop removal work, the crazy shit busts out. I remember last January, Scott, when I went to D.C. and I get up the next morning and there's Marcus Aurelius talking to the National Prayer Breakfast about how bad Arnold Schwarzenegger's ratings were.
Yeah, well, that's spirituality. Don't you get that?
It's going to be a matter of prioritization.
Yeah. Well, I really hope you can just kind of simply be, to the extent that you can do that, with yourself and with Agnes and with togetherness, and with your surroundings, whatever they are. It'll be like a tonic for you, and God knows you could use a little tonic at this point, and maybe a splash of gin.
And absolutely put out of your mind the fact that Hiroshima and Nagasaki have their anniversaries this week.
There's that too. By the way, I never got to the story, but there was some fun news out of Fukushima in the last couple of weeks.
That's interesting because
hey Larry,
hello folks. Hi, it's interesting because Timmy, as you know, was going to go to Fukushima. His relatives are there, and he was going to be a journalist and report back about Fukushima. And I was just thinking about, I remember, Bob, I was notifying you that the book came out that Tim authored, and I got a copy of it on the 18th of July, and Timmy's story is in it, and it's really an interesting little story of how Tim became an atheist and felt welcome in a Unitarian Universalist congregation. So, at any rate,
well, heck, I bet I'd even feel welcome in a Unitarian Universalist congregation. If you can't feel welcome with the Unitarians, that's on you, not them.
Yeah, you know, I don't talk to very many of those people anymore. You know, that we're on the chat. You know, Lottie and Timmy and those people, and I really miss them, but I don't know where they went, so I guess I shouldn't worry about it, but I really miss those people.
No, I do too.
What happened in Fukushima? Don't leave us hanging for a week, Bob. What happened?
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, go. Do you know the story, Larry?
No, why don't you tell it?
But it's not like waiting until Monday, and I want to find out what the hell happened before next Monday.
Well, I mean, we're all using the same internet here, but no, it's.
But it feels so much better when you do it.
Yeah, I know. Let me find it here. Oh, yeah, I know what it was. Officials at Tokyo Electric Power, have declared that they intend to dump 770,000 cubic meters of radioactive tritium water into the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, God.
Saying, after dilution, tritium is released into the ocean, not only from the nuclear power plants, but also from the reprocessing plants in the world already. That from Tadahiro Katsuta of Meiji University. We've already got some tritium. The argument being, hell, we've already got some tritium in the water. What's another 770,000 cubic meters?
Well, if they're putting their faith not on Jesus but dilution, have they figured into the equation the polar caps melting?
That's just more water to dilute the tritium.
We're all screwed.
Wait a damn minute. I have you, Scott in San Diego, with your little pal Punky. You can't do that before I go on vacation. You are the little ray of horn sunshine, and I'm getting ready to go, and you haul out for the first time ever. We're screwed. We're all screwed. Screw you, Scott.
Somebody pull Bob off the ledge. Come on. Bob's got a vacation going. We can't have him go over a ledge here. Just pull him.
That's a first.
When, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Yeah, as the mushroom clouds go up. Yeah, I know the song clarity.
Pardon me.
Jesus, you people.
I guess it's
worry,
like
Godzilla
those,
will save us all.
We love you, Bob.
It's
in the hands of Dr. Strangelove.
Bob, it's that lizard people effect that David Icke talks about. There, for a brief instant, my relentless optimism mask fell away.
and see, that's the thing, Scott. I've known it all along. That's all it is. It's a mask.
There we go. You nailed me, Bob. I guess.
Yeah,
I guess
it's just one of those rubber Mission Impossible masks, and you just pull it on and go, "I'm screwed."
Bob, before you go. Bob, before you go, I just wanted to say I hope you're doing okay.
Thank you.
I hope everybody on chat is doing at least okay, given the circumstances that we're all facing. I know I'm a bummer, but I hope everybody's doing okay, and I hope you're doing okay, Bob.
You're not a bummer, Larry. Now quit that.
We're doing okay, given the fact that we're all fucking screwed.
Well, you know what Lottie and Sergi were saying to me. They said, Larry, instead of worrying about this, why don't you just pull up your chair, get some popcorn or some soft drinks, and just watch what happens to the world, because there's not going to be very much you're going to be able to do about it.
That's why God invented vodka martinis.
That's good advice.
Yes.
As your attorney, Larry, I urge you to start drinking heavily and do so for the next 24 hours, okay?
Well, what did Hunter S. Thompson say? I hate to recommend the use of drugs and alcohol, but it's always worked for me. So we're at 9 o'clock, kind of overrun here, but it's time to go, and I thank you all. Reruns will go during the week. Back a week from Monday. And thanks. I cannot begin to thank everyone enough for what it has taken to make this happen. This was the brainchild of our buddy Scott in Sweden. And you guys jumped in more enthusiastically than I could ever have dared dream. So we're going away for the week. A real vacation. For the first time in 13 years. No speaking engagements. No door knocking. Just free time. Enjoy. And y'all made it possible. Thank you very, very kindly. I cannot thank you enough. Have a wonderful week. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks over there in the chat room to Midweek Utility Pinch Hit chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you, Charlie, for jumping in. Thank you, Henry, for jumping in. That leaves us at $5. And thank you for all of that. Thank you to everyone who supports this program, because you're why it remains on the air. You are the only reason it remains on the air. Thank you to our subscribers. A reminder to folks, if they want to become subscribers, patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. We're trying to get 345 or 340 or so $10 a month subscribers over there. Gosh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Thank you. I just, for myself and on Agnes's behalf, thank you. Thank you to all of you who spend your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. Thank you so very much. Please know that I know the value of that. Your time, the most precious thing on earth. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. And a reminder, smile.amazon.com. If you go there and you nominate Coal River Mountain Watch, Coal River Mountain Watch will receive a tiny, tiny little portion of every purchase you make, for the most part, at Amazon. And there's no more worthwhile grassroots organization on that list than Coal River Mountain Watch. But I'm biased. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. Have a great weekend. Have a great week. Out of here.